Welcome to episode 210 of the Grip Strip Podcast, the dominance edition of the Grip Strip Podcast. My name is Philip Matthew. I'm your host. I'm with my co-host, as always, the iRacing Indy 500 champion, a computer genius, a gentleman and a scholar. His name is Josh Affine. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing great, of course. We had a pretty good weekend of racing here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Of course, and Cup trucks and Xfinity. So, and of course, F1's finally back, and I think all the drama in F1's off the track, or NASCAR's drama's on the track. So, definitely a lot to get into, and everything. And now racing seems to be getting full back circle. We got IndyCar coming up next weekend, so a lot happening here throughout the world of motorsports.
Yep, absolutely. We're gonna go over all three races at Las Vegas. The big win for Rajah Caruth in the truck series. HendrickCars.com went 2 for 3 this weekend, sandwiched by Joe Gibbs Toyota's dominating the Xfinity race with John Hunter Nemechek and Chandler Smith. Kyle Larson dominated the Cup race on Sunday. And then we know what happened in Formula One. Red Fool 1-2. Smooth operator finishes third. There was Linus Stern almost fully in order. Every single team in back-to-back positions, except for Lewis Hamilton being sandwiched by the two McLarens in the top 10. Lance Stroll, the goofball, drove up through the field and was able to finish 10th. Second half of the field, though, a lot of drama going on there. So we'll talk about that, and then the issues with Karen Horner and then not Minardi and amongst others. So we'll get into all that. Ben Suliam manipulating races. I mean, if you want to prove you're a Saudi, just really look at him and then the Crown Prince and what they do. Almost like they're like Putin light. Then in the roundup, it's going to be very busy. We're going to talk about the first round of the WEC season at Qatar. Big victory for an American-based team. F2 and F3 at Bahrain last week. Saudi Arabia will have just F2. F1 Academy will start their 2024 season. We had the Daytona Supercross last week. We're going to start the season for MotoGP and NHRA, so Tony Stewart making his Top Fuel debut at the Gator Nationals, amongst other big name changes. And Indiana NXT at St. Pete, I mentioned F1 Academy, and then we'll close out with the Daytona 200, once a really legendary race where a lot of big names won. These days, it's been a 600 super sport race for, I think, about 2 decades now, and lost its luster. It's been on and off, so we'll see what it's like for this year. We'll preview the 2024 IndyCar Series season, along with St. Petersburg, for first race of the year, make our picks. So we'll make championship picks, we'll make race picks, and preview that. Saudi Arabia for Formula One. We'll talk about who will finish behind Fish Lips. Cup and Xfinity are at Phoenix, and we'll make our previews and picks for that. Josh will let us know all things going on in the world of iRacing and gaming in a sim segment, and we'll call it a day. So let's start off with Pennzoil 400. I mean, there really wasn't a lot of drama this whole weekend at Vegas. In terms of action, I mean, there was a little action at the end of the race there. Tyler Reddick was trying to get there and do something. Finished second both stages to Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson ends up getting maximum points. Led 181 of the races, 267 laps. He's won 2 consecutive races at Vegas. This is one of his best racetracks. Etc. I picked him in my pick'em pool or whatever, so now I've won 2 consecutive races, and because of the maximum points, gained a huge amount of ground on second place. So I'm happy about that. That's about the only good thing that came from that, because that was just god-awful to watch. Larson, Reddick, Ryan Blaney, third. Ross Chastain, fourth. So three guys from the 15th to 20th zone getting in the top five. And then Keebler Gibbs, fifth. Noah Gagson from 30th finished sixth. Martin Truex Jr., seventh. Denny Hamlin, 28th to eighth. Joey Logano started on pole, finished ninth. And Will Byron started fourth and finished 10th. Suarez, coming off of his photo finish at Atlanta, finished 11th. William Clyde Elliott, the second, finished 12th. Brad Keselowski, that Jones boy, Carson Hocevar, gets a top 15 finish. And honestly, it was a good, really great day for Spire. It's a great weekend for Spire, to be fair. The 7 car was running up there in the top 10 or 15 for most of the day before the incident that LaJoy had. Bald spot Dylan Richard, Alex Bowman, former winner at Vegas, Daniel Hemric, who I don't think I ever saw the whole entire weekend, and Josh Berry rounding out the top 20. Chase Briscoe ends up 21st, and I still don't know how that happened. He was running in the top 10 or 15 all virtually the entire day, and then the last pit stop sequence or something, and he falls all the way back to 21st. I mean, that's just god-awful. In the end, 31 cars finished on the lead lap. There was only one DNF. That was Chris Buescher after his right front wheel came off and he slammed the wall. There'll be 2-week penalties for multiple people on that team. Zane Smith hit the wall early in the race and broke a toe link, but they were able to repair it and get him back out there. Bubba Wallace had lug nut issues, and that basically screwed his race over. He had a chance, honestly, would have been a top 5, top 10 car. Christopher Bell's interesting 2024 continues. Trying to remember offhand what happened to Christopher Bell.
He had a flat tire at the beginning of the race, and then later on, he spun out in lap 158 off of turn 2.
All right. So that I was trying to remember that, but I appreciate that. So, I mean, Christopher Bell has had quite a start to the year, but like he has the last couple of years, he seems to clutch up as the season goes on. Starting slow with this points format isn't horrendous. You may not go and end up winning the regular season title, but you can go and accumulate a lot of stage points depending on the race weekend and give yourself, and one win really gives you, puts you in a good spot to go and make the playoff. These days, I don't think there will be more than 16 winners, but who knows, maybe there will be. But really, Larson, it was Larson all day from the start. The Toyotas were fighting all day, whether it was the 23-11, and I mean, it was Reddick, and then Bubba was up there before he had his issues, and then the Gibbs guys, outside of Christopher Bell, all the other three, Keebler, had pit issues, came back. Truex, of course, has always been a solid driver at Vegas, and Hamlin. But at the end of the day, it all starts and ends with Young Money.
Yeah, it all starts and ends with Young Money. A lot of times it seems like, you know, on these mile and a half intermediate tracks, you know, that's where his talent and where his car really handles well and allows him to dominate a lot of these races. So Larson led a ton laps today and won the race, but you know, it wasn't easy at the end, of course. It seemed like in the middle portions maybe Larson started to kind of fade towards the end of the run, but he was still able to hold on the lead, and this was kind of the case at the end. Larson kind of arrow blocking at the end over Tyler Reddick, and I think, you know, for Reddick, if he would have went high on the With two laps to go, he went low and followed Larson through the corner and didn't lose a ton of time. But then he went low again in turn three and four, and then lost all the momentum that he had, because that's the corner where he was making up a lot of the time. The last 10 laps or so of the race there, prior to that, he was making up a lot of time in turn three and four, and went low to follow Larson, which Larson, I think, had went kind of middle high the previous lap to kind of throw off Reddick there with the aero blocking. But then, Reddick stayed low, and that's where he lost the momentum. I think if he went high, would have had a chance to get up right up to his bumper going into turn one of the final lap, or possibly off, turn two in the backstretch there. So, it takes a lot with these cars, of course, to, be able to get side by side with the guy in front. It's a lot of cat and mouse, like the announcers were saying, of course, but, with the aero blocking and, the lack of horsepower, that's kind of how it turns out. I was watching the 2006 finish with Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth, and, Jimmy was able to pull up alongside Matt Kenseth and, turn three and four, the final lap, and just drive it deep in there and pass him and everything. And, so I think that was, that's kind of a lot different from back then to now, and, how much effort and energy it takes to be able to get around a guy. But, it could make for, Larson, of course, with how Chevrolet is with their package compared to everybody else. We could see the makings here of Hendrick really taking over the series this year. But, the Fords, some of the Fords and, some of the Toyotas, they still showed pace, like Reddick, of course, finishing second there. But I think also have to factor in the pit crew for Reddick, letting him down at times there. So definitely a factor in why he wasn't able to get the win. Ryan Blaney continuing to show speed throughout this. Ty Gibbs, was up there as well. So kind of surprising to see him fighting up there in the top five. I think really surprising, Noah Gragson in sixth place showed, they had speed throughout the weekend, and then they really just came out to play this weekend here. Really good result for Noah Gragson there, finished sixth. And, what's looking like kind of like the forgotten Ford team now these days, that we don't really have a whole lot of expectations for Stuart Haas Racing, but Noah Gragson came out and held the flag for that team today or on Sunday. So good result there, and it is notable because they did have that 35 point penalty on last week from Atlanta, so scored 30 points this week, so that still puts them behind the eight ball in terms of having points compared to the rest of the field, and is just now making it up. And there's still time, but just shows the impact and of how points penalties, massive points penalties, can affect you. So that's worth noting there, that for something later on, in the mile and a half, they could have speed later on, but we'll see if this is a one-off where they can take that and learn some more stuff and everything. But he had that, and then William Byron led laps early, of course, but I think they like ran over a trash bag or something, so that was interesting there. That could have affected their day and could have brought in another player. It's a Hendrick car, but maybe Kyle Larson doesn't dominate the race as much if he doesn't run over that trash bag, if William Byron doesn't do that. So that's worth noting. But you just had that, and of course Kyle Busch, and back in 26th, he was a huge player at the beginning of the race and in the middle portion, but then they just ended up having a speeding penalty there at the end that kind of got them there. So errors for Kyle Busch to start the year, that's something that they've got to work on, and maybe that's the one thing that's holding back the RCR team, is maybe Kyle Busch has the speed and the talent, but their pit crew isn't as good as what some of the top teams have. So that's something worth noting. And then of course Bubba Wallace there finishing 35th, had top five speed at the beginning, top 10 speed I think, but of course had I guess his team decided to do the Valtteri Bottas impression there with you know, Mercedes at Monaco a few years ago. But, you know, Bubba, somehow I saw that he was able to push Bubba or Tyler Reddick down the straight of the front straight of Las Vegas, which seems really interesting to use drafting help at a track that, you know, isn't considered something where you would utilize, you know, drafting in that sense, you know, where, you know, you have car getting a tow or, you know, a side draft, but never where a guy behind you is intentionally pushing you down the, you know, front stretch to try to help him make time up to the leader and everything. And that was kind of an interesting dynamic that we kind of saw in the middle of the race once Bubba was out of contention after that. And also kind of towards the end, I think they brought that up too. So kind of interesting dynamic there. Never really seen that before, but, you know, it's worth looking into, you know, later in the year when we come back to Las Vegas and other, you know, mile and a halves like Kansas and, you know, other places where I think, you know, you kind of have a gradual sweeping curve as the front straight, not maybe not so much like Charlotte or Texas or something like that. So yeah, that's worth noting. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was an interesting race, you know, yeah, not a whole lot happened in terms of like, you know, wrecks or action, but you know, I thought, you know, the racing was compelling enough to kind of see, you know, what was taking place and definitely, it's definitely watchable. And, you know, I mean, the most dominant car won. So, you know, that's, that sense maybe a little bit boring, but, you know, I think it's good to see that, you know, the best car throughout the weekend ended up winning the race.
Yep. And that was, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, you know, Kyle Larson's going to win his fair share. Going out there and being, and having the speed like that is, I mean, you brought up with Chevy and their package, the Hendrick cars, him and the 24 were up front. And then, I mean, that garbage bag or whatever that went on the grill for Byron kind of set him back. I mean, there was pit road issues aplenty, not just Bubba, but, you know, the Kyle Busch issues screwed up his whole entire day. Bald spot Dylan also had problems. Keebler Gibbs had issues, but he was able to come back from them. I mean, I think the pit crews now, they're so specialized, but then there's so much more pressure on the pit crews, I think, now more than ever because of how quick they are. They have to go. I mean, and theoretically, the fuel isn't even getting done, you know, in that time frame. I mean, are we really sure that in 11 seconds are filling the two cans of fuel? Really?
Nah.
I mean, and so that's another thing that my thing is, yeah, you lose that time on the track, but then you'd also lose the time if you run out of fuel, too. So at some point, there has to be a balancing act of wanting to do the quickest pit stops and get, you know, and get every, you know, get the tires done. But then you have what happened to Chris Buescher, destroys his race car 25, 27 laps into a race, loses pit crew members and loses his car chief, crew chief, whatever. I mean, for what? I mean, it's just, I don't know if they're really going about it the right way when it comes to that. I mean, there's going to be plenty of pit practice in Welcome, North Carolina. I mean, Boyer said it during a broadcast, but I think it's true. Kyle has had speed every race, but had issues. Christopher Bell also. There's other guys. I mean, Ryan Preece is dead last in points for people who have run every race. And so that nightmare scenario for him. You talked about Gagson with the huge penalty with the roof rails. Priest also got hit with that. So they were essentially coming from a minus to, or from a negative to getting into positive points. The Fords had a mixed bag. I mean, Ryan Blaney continues this momentum that he had at the end of the year. Logano, you know, at least he got a finish, but it wasn't as good of a run as he probably wanted, given he was able to qualify on pole. And then, I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm trying to look at who other, yeah, I mean, yeah, Gagson ends up saving it the day for SHR because Briscoe would have had a chance to get a top 10 there, but I don't know what happened at all. Credit to Josevar. You know, we know him as a guy who runs over people. And but in the Cup Series, when he was running the Cup car last year, he generally showed to be a pretty solid driver. He would use his head and get the best finish that he could out of the car. He showed it when he was filling in for Corey LaJoie. He showed it when he was driving a 77. And now he's driving it full time. Gets a top 15 finish. Spire was another team, of course, with LaJoie, that probably wanted more out of the day after the incident they had. They probably were a top 15 car as well. So Spire Motorsports coming with a lot of speed is a good sign for them, I think, long term, going into the rest of the season. You know, the Toyota's obviously fast, and that's not really a surprise. Even the new customers with Legacy, with Eric Jones, John Hunter was 22nd, but he was able to move up a little bit more than that at times. So, I mean, it's something to see as we go forward. All right, so the points right now, Larson leads by 8 over Ryan Blaney, 14 over Truex, Byron in 4th, Ross Chastain rounds out the top 5, minus 20. Daniel Suarez is 8th in points, minus 28. So those are the 3 winners so far. So Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Suarez, Keebler, Gibbs, Hamlin, Gumby, Cindric, Reddick, Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Eric Jones, John Hunter, Nemechek. So he's the rounds out the 16 at the moment. Corey LaJoie 2 points back. Ricky Stenhouse 4 points back. Then Hemric minus 10. Briscoe minus 15. And that's your top 20 so far. Didn't mention certain names. Of course, you look at for drivers that made the playoffs last year. Richard made the playoffs last year. Chris Bell is 21st. McDowell, Buescher, Logano, 22nd through 24th. And, I mean, that's about it. The 4 car made it, of course, with Harvick. Josh Berry right now is 30th in points. And then the 10, did Almirola? No, Almirola didn't make the playoffs. He was buried with the rest of the team last year.
Contender. Yeah.
Yeah, so Gagson gets that 6th place finish to get into the positive, like you mentioned, Josh, and Brian Priest brings up the caboose for drivers who are full-time because of that penalty. Stewart Haas Racing right now is 3 of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, bottom 6 drivers. The Rick Ware team has 2 over there. Brad Keselowski is 28th. Brad Keselowski made the playoffs last year, and right now he's 28th in points. So the Ford's definitely a mixed bag. I wonder what it'll be this weekend at Phoenix. We'll talk about that later, though. Xfinity Series at Las Vegas was definitely not that compelling. It was really a bore fest, and it was a Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing benefit. Chandler Smith started 2nd and won both stages. John Hunter Nemechek finished 2nd in both stages, but led the most laps. After that, you had 27 laps led by everybody else in the field. John Hunter Nemechek with the victory. Defending series champion Cole Custer qualified on pole, finished 2nd, didn't lead a lap. Chandler Smith 3rd, Austin Hill 4th, Riley Herbst rounds out the top 5. AJ Allmendinger 6th, Ryan Sieg 7th, Sammy Smith 8th. He started 8th, finished 8th in the 8 car. Bruckshot Jones in 9th. Justin Allgaier started tailback, basically, and finished 10th. Got stage points in both stages. Parker Kligerman finished 11th. Got stage points in both stages. Eric Almirola in his season debut for Gibbs, 12th. Josh Williams finally gets a finish, 14th. Haley Deegan, 15th. Corey Heim, 13th. Alfredo, Jesse Love, Leland Honeyman, who had a qualified 18th, finished, or 19th, finished 18th. He swapped positions essentially with Brennan Poole, and then Kyle Sieg rounds out your top 20. Sheldon Creed was two laps down in 26th. Sam Mayer wrecked early in the race and finished 38th. SVG blew an engine and finished 37th. Transmission problems for Sage Karam driving the third Jordan Anderson car. Parker Retzlaff goes out with a fuel pump issue, started fourth, was running up in the top 10. So unfortunate situation for him, at least at the start of the race, but he got a great qualifying run and nothing to show for it. Gibbs wins. At least it is an Austin Hill, but John Hunter Nemechek, you know, just doing what he was doing last year until when it counted. And Chandler Smith, though, showing speed and something to look at as we move forward later in the season, Josh.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with John Hunter, it's almost confusing because, you know, he's running full time in Cup, and so far he's ran every race in Xfinity, but, you know, he ended up winning this one, of course. But Gibbs up front showing speed. I think it's more significant that Chandler Smith is having a good run so far, you know, early in the season like that. So the first, you know, downforce track for the series, you know, he comes out here and finishes in third place. So last week finished second at Atlanta, you know, this week, you know, finishing in third here and leading laps. That's pretty significant and everything. And of course, you know, just being able to get good finishes, finished fifth at Daytona. So so far he's had a good track record to start the year and everything, which is why he's second in the standings right now in terms of points. So that's obviously a good result for that team. Cole Custer finishing in second, you know, that's also a positive result there, because with how his season started, you know, kind of finishing outside the top 10 in first two races, and now finishing, you know, got on pole at Las Vegas and finished second. So, maybe the first downforce track for the Fords, definitely a good result there for, you know, both Stuart Haas cars in Xfinity. Riley Herbst also getting a top five there and everything. So it's, you know, beginning to look like, you know, the Xfinity series that we know, with cars and drivers, you know, beginning to kind of figure out their way. Now we've, you know, had three races. So we'll see over the next couple of weeks who we think really are the players here throughout the rest of the regular season and everything. But, you know, I think it's definitely going to be a Gibbs battle, maybe a Ford battle between, you know, the two Stuart Haas cars there, and a little bit of, you know, whatever remnant of Colic Racing. You know, Junior Motorsports kind of still out a little bit out to lunch so far to start the year there, but you know, they still had three cars in the top 10, so that's still not bad. But of course, and Sam Mayer crashed out very, very early, so, you know, still got a lot of work to do for that team. One thing I guess we could mention that's not really racing related, but, you know, it's part of the race itself, is, you know, the TV coverage. I saw that, I guess, the camera crew, they couldn't go up to actually man the cameras, I guess, or something, so because of the winds. So it actually led to a bit of a different angle when it came to the shots on screen, and seemed like a lot of people enjoyed that and everything. So which, you know, compared to what we've gotten used to with Fox, everything's all zoomed in on the car, which, you know, obviously they're professionals, they have to do their job, but a lot of people noted online how the coverage looked like, and looked a lot better with, you know, everything zoomed out, so you actually see what's happening, of course. So yeah, that's one thing, just wanted to bring that up, which, you know, think we need more of that, obviously, you know, with TV stuff, you know, that's been in the news too. So with how the sport or the networks are trying to cover, and obviously it sounds like NASCAR is looking in a direction where they want to take everything in-house to produce stuff and everything. But yeah, that looks like that might be the direction that NASCAR is going in. But it's good to have a different variety of shots instead of the same, you know, zoomed in shots that we get with Fox and, you know, with NBC every week.
Yeah, definitely. Something that, I mean, of course, weather driven, but giving a bigger span, widening the shot, getting more cars in there, getting more people involved and acknowledged within the race, especially in a race which was basically two cars dominating. So something to look at if Fox continues to do that or if they just go back to what they usually do. Truck Series was history-making event for Rajah Carruth going and winning his first career pole earlier in the day and then leading 38 laps and getting his first career Truck Series win. Spire Motorsports 3-for-3 in the Truck Series to start the year. I mean, that's something that I never thought I'd ever say. Yeah, Rajah Carruth gets the win. He got good stage points as well. So great night for him. Rajah Carruth, Tyler Ankrum, Corey Heim, Taylor Gray, and Christopher Bell round out the top five. So three trucks from Tricon. You have one McAnally truck as well. Christian Eckes started second for McAnally and finished sixth. Crafton finished seventh and was quoted and sounding like a boomer, which, I mean, for a guy who's basically never gotten out of the Truck Series, makes a lot of sense. Zane Smith was eighth, driving limited races for McAnally. Ninth, Grant Enfinger. 10th, Ty Majeski, who won both stages in the Curb Records Ford for Thor Sport. Jake Garcia just outside of the top 10. There were 13 trucks on the lead lap. Brett Holmes, Ben Rhodes round out those trucks. Kyle Busch had issues on pit road amongst three Spire trucks, Purdy, Sanchez. I mean, they had long green flag run there late in the race. But, I mean, I guess in the end, we talk about it. You showed it was Amanda Wallace was recording her hubby, you know, talking about we had Phil Spain and Sarah Davis last week. And the first couple of the Bubba Wallace fan club and the mentor to Rajah Carruth and Darrell Wallace Jr. is watching the race intensely, trying almost like he's driving the truck himself, shows that genuine care he has for his dude, the Washington, D.C. Native. Getting that win, I mean, we picked him a lot last year as a wild card. But he ain't a wild card this year. He has a truck that seems like is going to be a contender on a weekly basis. He's much more confident. Rick Hendrick believes in him, so obviously that doesn't hurt. And having that sponsorship, I think, is really going to drive Rajah to go and take a big step forward. And he's also locked into the playoffs. So right now, three Spire trucks, at least on the owner's side, are locked in, and two Spire trucks are locked in on the driver's side. But, I mean, it was a huge deal. It made SportsCenter early in SportsCenter, third African-American driver to win in a NASCAR's top three series. Talk about the D4D, and you had Daniel Suarez at Atlanta. You had Nick Sanchez at Daytona, and now Rajah Carruth at Las Vegas. So representation there so far in at every race weekend for the D4D is a huge deal for the series, but especially for Rajah Carruth, Josh.
Yeah, and you mentioned that we picked him a lot last year in the wild card. So I mean, obviously had the belief back then. So, you know, eventually, you know, came through this year, and, you know, moving over to Spire after being with GMS last year. You know, Spire, of course, full backing this year with HendrickCars.com. So, you know, obviously bookending the weekend here, Kyle Larson winning on Sunday, Roger Carruth on Friday night. So, you know, very, very significant there. And, you know, he started on pole and was up there fighting throughout the race. But I mean, initially, like, I wasn't sure if he was going to win. Thought maybe he would just get, you know, a top 10, which is still good. But, you know, thought it wasn't sure if he was going to have race winning pace, because I thought that maybe one of the other trucks in that field was looking like they were going to pull away on the long run. You know, with you know, Corey Heim or Taylor Gray there last pit stop at cycle, I think. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Can you see you.
Okay. Yeah. It's just blurrier than it was before, but it's still your back, so.
Okay. Yeah, we'll cut that out, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I mean, Raja, like I was saying, like, I mean, he was, you know, there was parts where he was leading and then he's kind of fading back. But then last pit cycle, you know, ended up cycling out towards the front. And then, you know, he was able to kind of hold on to it throughout the rest of the way. You know, Tyler Ankrum was coming because I thought Raja had pulled away for the rest of the race, but then Ankrum slowly was beginning to reel him in. You could see the interview. Contender later in the year. But, you know, I think the other part that's significant is you came from iRacing, you know, just like William Byron did, kind of, but, you know, for Raja, you know, it's a little bit different. Obviously, kind of, you know, he didn't really have the connections like William Byron did, you know, with you know, as close to Hendrick and everything as Byron's family was. And, you know, Raja, he was able to, you know, kind of take the interest from watching the Cars movie, and then, you know, eventually got into iRacing, and then
him and the Spire organization. The points leading or points going to Bristol in a couple of weeks' time. We have Tyler Ankrum leading the points by 5 over Ty Majeski, and where you got Corey Heim in third. Rajah Carruth moves up to 4th. Nick Sanchez is 5th. He lost 2 places. Taylor Gray, 6th. Matt Crafton, 7th. Brett Holmes, 8th. Christian Eckes, 9th. Grant Infinger is 10th. 19 points ahead of Daniel Dye, Stuart Friesen, and 21 points ahead of Tanner Gray. So that's the really where it's at points wise. Ben Rhodes, 17th. Looking through other people that you would assume would be in the mix, Ty Dillon right now in 23rd in points. The Nice Motorsports team, Bailey Curry's 19th. Matt Mills is 30th. Lane Riggs right now is 33rd in points, right behind Dad Moffitt, which is freaking god awful. Yeah, so there's, you know, right now 47 drivers have made at least, or yeah, it says starts. Yeah, so 47 drivers have made an attempt so far this year. 44 had made a start. So we'll see what happens as we move forward to Bristol. Ankrum having a great start to the year. You have the 4 major teams in this series all represented, with McAnally, Dorsport, Tricon, and Spire within the top 5 there. And the first driver that isn't in within that, but I think there's support, they're getting support from one of those teams. Brett Holmes and Grant Enfinger is also the same deal there. So see what happens at Bristol a couple weeks time. Moving forward into Formula One, there really isn't a whole heck of a lot to get into there. Fish Lips didn't show a lot in practice. But when it came time for qualifying, he ends up qualifying on pole and runs away with the race, finishes 22 seconds ahead, 22.4 seconds ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez, and 25.1 seconds ahead of Carlos Sainz in the Ferrari. Leclerc fourth, Russell fifth, Norris, Sir Lewis Hamilton, Oscar Piastri, Fred Alonso, Lance Stroll, last car on the lead lap, 19 seconds behind his teammate. Zhou Guan Yu, the first of nine cars a lap down. Logan Sargeant had steering issues. Was the only car that finished two laps down. I guess at the end of the day, the Linus Stern form that almost happened if Lewis was able to get past Lando. But, you know, you have the top five teams there. And, Red Bull domination is not a surprise, Josh. For Fischlips going and getting pole in the fastest lap, not a surprise. But the intriguing battles will be elsewhere with the other teams. Sainz initially goes and gets the better of Leclerc. You can make an argument that he's been better than Leclerc for the majority of the time he's been at Ferrari. They may have made a mistake, but in the end, it's Ferrari. They always go for their guy. And in the end, Charles Leclerc has been one of their drivers for a long time. Keeping him over Sainz is based on probably that and, you know, some other stuff. But, I mean, Carlos Sainz, I don't think should have a problem getting a ride for next year, whether that may be going back to Red Fool to drive the second car, which I don't think he would want to do. Whether that is going to not Minardi, Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri, V-Carb, RB, whatever the hell you want to call that stupid team, that has the RB19, whatever may be there. But Mercedes, of course, everybody is thinking, we're trying to figure out who's going to go and replace Lewis at Mercedes. And he's one of those people that I think are at the top of the list. Fischlips might be up there too, since there's supposedly a lot of drama at Red Bull because of Karen Horner. And that situation sounds like there's a coup going on with Jos Verstappen trying to do a force out, if it's anything like his racing career, he's probably going to crash trying to do it. Karen Horner is a dipshit and a terrible person anyways, but they cleared him, which, tells you what kind of investigations they really do at Red Bull. I'm implicating the guy without, they have the evidence out there. I'm implicating the guy because it's like you can't just go and make that assumption, but he's been a tool his whole entire life. He comes from money. The guy, it's not like he's ever been held accountable for anything. He always talks out of his ass and has got this arrogance about him when he's a freaking smurf. And he probably is a cuckold as well, but he goes and gets cleared. But it sounds like between One-Eyed Marco, Jos Verstappen, others, they don't want him there anymore. Maybe he told Max Verstappen that he had to change something. Who knows? Because, Max has got the mentality of a child. So, I don't know why there would be any type of infighting or reason to change when they win every fucking race. That might be the only thing that could do anything to this team. And if it blows up on them, it'll be hilarious. To be fair, if it all blows up and Red Bull just like completely melts down, Daniel Ricciardo wants to go back and drive for the main team. That might lead to that happening it might end up that the guy that he was fighting and cursing out yesterday in Yuki Tsunoda might end up being his teammate. I mean, you got all kinds of drama. It sounds like one of the housewives shows. And when you consider how bad Formula One has become, it's got the housewives drama is probably better than the actual racing itself. And so, yeah, I mean, there are certain teams like Alpine that are completely out to lunch, certain drivers that are hoping for a recovery drive at Saudi this weekend, like Lewis, but the drama off the track is more interesting than the racing on the track, Josh.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the drama off the track is way more interesting at this point. And, you know, I like how you phrased that they're a coup led by Jos Verstappen, which that would be hilarious. Like, it actually turned out to be a real coup. And, you know, they just went and flipped the, you know, F1, what was it, slogan that they used a few years ago, "We race as one." And they just started using that to kind of, cancel Christian Horner there. So that would be really funny if he just led a movement. And I mean, it could happen. I mean, Ford, I saw some rumor that Ford possibly is questioning backing Red Bull now because of this and whatnot. And then this stifles into, or, you know, snowballs into stuff. And then you got the rest of the grid just like saying, "Hey, we can't have this guy on the grid." that would be funny. So, yeah, but I mean, it's not a good situation. I mean, they're winning in spite of it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes there. And yeah, they cleared him. But of course, you know, you wonder if there'll be any further investigation, or if there's, you know, further stuff that'll come out from, you know, outside that organization there. But of course, yeah, that's the main drama there, of course, which has, you know, actually nothing to do with the race track, or maybe something to do because they keep winning. So, Verstappen still winning regardless there. And then, yeah, the only real drama there on track was with the two RBs, with Tsunoda and Ricciardo, and then Tsunoda kind of dive bombed him after the race there, and was not happy about having to give up his spot. And he was kind of contending there for the points there, but really don't know if he was going to have the pace to hold that spot there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just, yeah, incompetence by the RB guys there. So, yeah, of course, they still have a lot of work to do, and we'll see if that leads to one of them taking the seat at the end of the year for Red Bull. So, you know, we'll see there. And then, yeah, I think the other thing you got to talk about is Mercedes, you know, with their pace. I mean, I think we both had Lewis in the top, or in the podium, and Lewis obviously didn't have the pace the whole weekend, really ends up getting seventh. Russell, not much better than that, maybe a little bit better in terms of contending for the podium, but, you know, ended up fading there at the end to Carlos and Charles Leclerc. So yeah, the Mercedes still have a lot of work to do, you know, compared to, you know, what they were coming into this year. So, you know, we'll see if, you know, Lewis can contend a little bit better. But yeah, not off to the best start, like I think people were optimistic for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he led FP2, and when I saw that, I kind of got my hopes up that it could be a decent weekend. But unfortunately, after that, it just kind of went to hell. I'm surprised that McLaren wasn't better this weekend, but then I guess you can consider last year at this time they were at the back of the field. So coming back to Bahrain, yeah, they had testing, they weren't showing like amazing pace. Maybe it's just not a track for them. Maybe we'll see at Saudi. They're in the couple of years, or however many years they've been at that hellhole, McLaren has not really been in a position to contend, so maybe that's an opportunity there on this coming weekend. And then, yeah, the Mercedes thing is going to be, that dynamic is going to be interesting, handling Lewis's exit, glass jaw, what is he going to do after basically being an also-ran last year. You know, Ferrari's dynamic with Carlos Sainz, you know, going, even though he probably is better than Charles Leclerc. Yeah, and Checo, Can he keep on finishing second? If he keeps on finishing second, they're not going to get rid of him. But if there's something that happens or he starts falling off, then yeah, Daniel Ricciardo, Yuki Tsunoda, Liam Lawson, insert Red Bull Jr. here, somebody that One Eye Marco decides he likes that particular day, if he saw him or not, out of his good eye. I mean, whatever it may be. I said it and I meant it that the world would be, or Formula One would be, a better place without Red Bull, and they own two teams. So that tells you they have control of 20% of the grid, and then they're going to complain about what Andretti brings to the table. I mean, really? Unbelievable what kind of bullshit these people pull and how bad of sports they are. And you have one guy who's a sexual harasser, and the other guy, the person who's the talent evaluator, only has one eye. And then you have Adrian Newey, who's a legend. You would think that you would assume that somebody of his ilk and his character would want to be working for somebody that's got a better quality than that. And then, you know, like on the other team, Toro Rosso, I refuse to call him by the whatever bullshit name they have. I'm just going to call him anything but that. They don't know what they want. Tsunoda and Ricciardo, I think they're going to run into each other at some point this year. It's going to be funny when it happens, too. I've been on record for a while saying that he's going to take that seat at Red Bull because he wants to be Fishlip's lackey for whatever reason. I'm like, you're a Grand Prix winner. You finished third in the World Championship before, and now you're resigning yourself to being a lackey for Fishlip's. Really? I mean, come on, man. Have a little more backbone and at least go and, you know, you were willing to take the risk and it didn't really work out too well for you. But in the grand scheme of things, being a caddy for Fishlip's is not as good as just going and staying at that other team and being the lead dog, even if it's the being at whatever Toro Rosso, because Alpine's going nowhere. Haas is nowheresville. Williams, we don't know. And I know that, but we do know that, James Vowles wants to keep Alex Albon, who's going to be in the second seat. If Logan Sargeant doesn't actually start putting things together, it ain't going to be him. You know, and then you have, I'm trying to think, what, Sauber? We don't know if Audi's there. We don't know what that's going on. Who's going to be around? And did I forget anybody there in that area? No. So that's the bottom five teams. Stroll's nepotism junior right there. He's god-awful. I guess I can't say he's god-awful, but he's also not, you know what, I keep on forgetting that guy, that YouTuber, the crazy YouTuber guy, who does Formula One recaps, and he just yells like a crazed lunatic, and he calls Lance Stroll an autistic, which is horrendous. Rocket-powered Mohawk. He says a lot of good stuff, but that one, I don't like Lance Stroll. I never have liked Lance Stroll. He's a dweeb. What is it? Paddock Pals. I was on with one half of the Paddock Pals podcast there. I have to go back. Let's see, if I go on Instagram, that'll be a problem for me, because then I'll start scrolling through all the hot chicks. But Warren from Paddock Pals, and he called him a dork. And then I'm like, well, dork, I think he's a dweeb. And either way, Lance Stroll is not, or doesn't really have any redeeming qualities. He's not as good as 96-year-old Fernando Alonso, even though Fernando Alonso spends his whole life up Lewis Hamilton's ass, so obsessed with him that he wants to figure out what's going on with his colon. He's so far up Lewis Hamilton's ass. And then you have the McLaren battle, which we'll see what happens with that and whatever. So we'll see what happens in Saudi with that. And then, yeah, Ben Sulium going and getting nailed for whatever the hell he's doing outside of Formula One manipulating races. I mean, he's the one who runs for interfere with F1 race result. Then involves the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Later, Stewart rescinded the penalty. He was an attempt to interfere. Yet 10-second vice president for sport in the Middle East. And, yeah, that is something. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me. The guy is corrupt. So really. He makes John Todt look like King Charles, at the rate this asshole's going. But I mean, that's Formula One. I did the preview for Grid Talk with George and Warren, but I didn't even watch any of the race, and I didn't watch qualifying, and I was happy about it. I heard a little bit of it on the radio, and went to the gym, and it was, or for the qualifying on Saturday, I heard a little bit of that, and then I think, what was it, Sunday? Yeah, I didn't even...
The race was on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, my bad. Yeah. Yes, I keep on...
I didn't catch it either. I mean, yeah. Like, I assumed it was on Sunday and everything, and I was like, oh, I'll wake up and put on F1, and then I started seeing people tweet about it, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought it was tomorrow, and I looked at it, and Saturday, and Max Verstappen already won, and I was like, oh, all right, I didn't miss much, so there you go.
Yeah, that's this first two races because of Ramadan. They're doing them on Saturday. So we get an extra day to not have to deal with watching Fishlips win again. Practice starts on Thursday. Then you have practice 3 and qualifying on Friday. And then the race on Saturday. All right. So let's get in a roundup here. The World Endurance Championship started their season in Qatar, and it was a dramatic race for some people, not so much for others. The Porsche Penske Motorsports number 6 gets their first victory in the WEC, wins. Porsche gets a clean sweep of the podium, and when you look at it, the top 4 are all LM whatever they call the nomenclature they have for the non hybrid, whatever the hypercars, they're not the hypercars or whatever the other one is. The Jota Sport number 12, of course, for a certain goat who is a part owner of that team. So Kevin Estra, Andre Lotterer, Lawrence Vanthoor for Penske in the number 6. The number 12 Jota Sport with Callum Ilott, Norman Nato, and Will Stevens, 33.2 seconds behind. And then just behind him, just over a second behind, the second Porsche Penske Motorsports team, Matt Campbell, Michael Christensen, and Frederick Makowicki, round out your podium. The Cadillac Ganassi number 2 was a lap down. Earl Bamba, Alex Lynn, and Sebastian Bourdais there. And the first hypercar was the AF Corsa Ferrari, Robert Kubica, Robert Schwartzman, and Ye Yafe. Same lap, 6th, the Toyota, number 7, Kamui Kobayashi, Mike Conway, Nick DeVries there. Ferrari AF Corsa, number 50, Nicholas Nielsen, Miguel Molina, Antonio Fuoco. The Alpine, number 35, Ferdinand Habsburg, Charles Malessi, and Paul Loup-Chatin, 8th. The second Toyota, Sebastian Buemi, Brendan Hartley, and Ryo Hirakawa. And then the Proton competition, Porsche, Neil Yanni, Harry Tinknell, Julian Andlauer rounds out your top 10. The hypercars take the top 16 spots. One of the Peugeot, the one Peugeot was in position to qualify or to finish, finished the race in third, but ended up stopping late in the race. That was the Stoffel, Van Dorn, Loic Duval, Paul de Resta Peugeot. And then in LMGT3, the Porsche Manti Racing Porsche won over the harder racing Aston Martin and the D Station Racing Aston Martin. Marco Sorensen, Matu, and a guy who has a name, last name that would be a curse. Then the harder racing team, Machinelli, Riberas, Alex Riberas, and Ian James there. I can't pronounce one guy's last name. Klaus Bockler and in Sturm for Manti. WRT BMW finishes fourth in class. That's the Al Harthy, Maxime Martin, and Valentino Rossi car. And then they Viste, of course, a Ferrari number 54, David Rigon, Castellacci, and Floor. Iron Dames was 24th, the first Corvette 26th, and got through some of these other. The United Autosports McLarens finished 29th and 30th. The Lexus, ASP Lexus, the first one of those was 32nd. The other Jota Sport Team Hertz number 38 was 33rd with Jensen Button, Phil Hansen, Oliver Rasmussen. So there you go. Next round of the WEC calendar will be at Imola in April. So we have a good amount of time between that race, this race, and that race. Next will be Formula 2 and Formula 3 at Bahrain last week. So in Formula 2, we had Zane Maloney sweep both races. The kid from Barbados was the winner, as I mentioned. So in the feature race, Zane Maloney, or in the sprint race, Zane Maloney over Jack Crawford, Pepe Marti, Isaac Hadjar, Paul Aaron, Gabriel Bortoleto, Zach O'Sullivan, Dennis Hauger, Ryoma Miyata, and Richard Vayshore round out your top 10. Juan Manuel Correa, 12th. Kushmini, 13th. Enzo Fittipaldi, 17th. That was in the sprint. And then in the feature race, it was Maloney over Pepe Marti, Paul Aaron, Zach O'Sullivan, Gabriel Bortoleto. Then Franco Colapinto, Kushmini, Dennis Hauger, Ryoma Miyata, and Andrea Kimi Antonelli for Prema. And those are the finishers there. Standings going into this weekend at Saudi, Maloney with a 12-point lead over Pepe Marti, 17 on Aaron, 21 Arvin Lindblad, Van Hopen, and Fornaroli, or the podium, Zoloff, Kramnitz, Esterson, the American, Gabriel Mini, Boya, Goth, and what the hell is his name? Jesus, what is that name? Trying to see here, and that guy's a, that name is Thai, Philippine, whatever, I forget what that, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'll just get in trouble. What is it, Montoya? Where is Montoya there? I just see that scrolling through. Ramos, Sebastian Montoya was 18th in the first race. Browning was actually 15th, so tells you what you can do in a span of a day. Luke Browning, Christian Mansell, Tramnitz, Megatonif, Ramos, Mini, Fornaroli, Lindblad, Dunn, and Goeth round out the top 10. So the standings heading to Melbourne. Browning leads Pramnitz by 4 points. Christian Mansell by 7. 10 points for Fornaroli. 11 point lead over Lindblad. Megatunif, 6, Mini, Van Hopen, Ramos, Soloff, Esterson is 11th in points. So they'll be back at Melbourne. And then after that, they'll also have a 2-month break between races there in the Formula 3. Next, we will see. Did I get rid of the outline? I must have. That was not good. Go back over there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
the Daytona Supercross, or
yeah, the Daytona Supercross. Thank you, Jet Lawrence, with the victory over Eli Tomac, the multi-time winner at Daytona. Chase Sexton, Cooper Webb, Ken Roczen, Justin Cooper, Malcolm Stewart, Dylan Ferrandis, Jason Anderson, and Benny Bloss for Beta gets a top 10 finish there, so credit to him. In the 250 main event, 250 main event, Tom Vial wins for KTM over Cameron McAdoo, Seth Hammaker, Hayden Deegan, Pierce Brown round out the top 5, Shock, Swole, Anstey, Marshall Welton, and Daxton Bennick round out the top 10. And then, so the point standings on the 250 East side, Anstey leads by 1 point over McAdoo and Pierce Brown. Vial is 3 points back, along with Hayden Deegan, who won the previous round. And then Shock was 4 points back. So Bennick, Hammaker, Miller, Welton round out the top 10. In the 450s, Lawrence leads the points by 10 over Cooper Webb, 13 over Sexton, 16 over Eli Tomac. That's the battle really at this moment. Roczen right now is 27 points back. Plessinger, after a brutal night, fell off the bike there at Daytona, falls all the way back to 6th, 28 points. Jason Anderson, 29 points back there. So ground to make up for them to try and keep up with this kid who has now won 3 races in his rookie season of Supercross, 450 Supercross. And then let's see here, MotoGP. Of course, their season starts this weekend at Qatar, MotoGP World Championship, on the cusp of the Qatar Grand Prix, first race of the year. Pecco Bagnaia, the defending world champion, has signed a 2-year extension to stay at Ducati. Who his teammate will be, we don't know. But Pecco Bagnaia is sticking around. Teams, riders, you have to go through. I mean, Luca Marini was one of the big moves, leaving his brother's team, of course, his brother being Valentino Rossi, to go to Repsol Honda. Johann Zarco leaving confines of Pramac and going over to LCR Honda. And Franco Morbidelli leaves Yamaha, goes to Pramac. Andrea Bastianini stays at Ducati for another year. Raul Fernandez and Miguel Oliveira will be riding for Trackhouse this year, so that'll be cool to see. Pedro Acosta makes his debut in MotoGP for Red Bull GasGas. Going through here, Augusto Fernandez stays for a second year at Red Bull GasGas. Alex Rins moves over to Monster Energy Yamaha from the LCR Honda team. And then Fabio Di Giantonio moves over to VR46 to be teammates with Marco Bezzecchi. Jorge Martin, who finished second in points last year. And then, of course, Mark Marquez, the biggest move of them all, leaving Honda to go to Gresini Racing to be a teammate with his brother, younger brother Alex, on Euro Ducatis. So we'll see what Mark Marquez brings to the table after a few difficult seasons. Sergio Garcia, Barry Baltus, Morera, Philip Salek, Celestino Vietti, Tony Arbolino back, Joe Roberts moves back to the American Racing team, sponsored, of course, by OnlyFans. His teammate will be Marcos Ramirez there. Then you have Indonesia, Thailand. We got, wow, that dude's got tats all the way up to his neck. Jesus. Aaron Kinnett. You have Jake Dixon, Zonta Vandegorbe, Foggia, Albert Arenas, Ayagura, Senna Agus, Benson Nair, Jeremy Alcoba. So we'll see how, for Joe Roberts, he's one of the more experienced riders in Moto2 at this point, with the prospect of an American, obviously having an American team on the grid in MotoGP. Can Joe Roberts take that next step and become a champion so he could possibly move up to MotoGP? Something we'll definitely look at here as the season goes on. In NHRA, we got Gator Nationals. DHL and Coletta Motorsports sign a extension. That's big news. That's great. Go through, what was it, ProMod? I don't know how many cars they have. 26. How many of them are not a Chevy? That's a better question. I don't know what a 55 Bickle is. Kevin Riverbark. Okay, he's driving a Ford. 70 Charger Chip King Jr. Stan Shelton and a Ford Mustang. So yeah, three of the 26 are non-Chevys. Okay, and it's in Pro Mod. Pro Stock Motorcycle, we have, they don't tell us how many they have. Oh, that's lovely. 19 bikes for 16 spots. You have a good balance of the Suzukis, Buells, and Buells out there. Gage Herrera, of course, returning after one of the most dominant seasons ever, let alone for a rookie, trying to defend his championship for Vance Nine Suzuki. Hector Arana Jr. back for Getrix. Matt Smith, multi-time champion, trying to get another one. Gianna Evaristo's part of that group there. Steve Johnson and Mark Ingwersen, Angie Smith trying to recover from the injury she suffered late last year, Chase Van Sant and Kelly Klontz amongst the riders that had points, got made the playoffs. Richard Gadsden is going to be the other rider at Vance and Hines Suzuki. No Eddie Krawick. That's crazy to see. Hector Arana Sr. is going to be back on a bike this year. We got Ellie Tonglet back with Nitro Fish. John Hall on another Matt Smith bike. Ryan Ayler with the El Bandito sponsorship. Trying to go through Pro Stock. Enders comes back as always. Multi-time champion there. There are Mustangs, but how many of them are actually powered by a non-Chevy engine? That one actually, the Fernando Cuadra Jr. car actually has a Ford engine. Okay, Brzezinski from New Jersey with the Dodge Dart. Probably going to have a hard time making the show. Christian Cuadra, yeah, he's got a Chevy engine in his Ford. So one Mopar, only one Ford powered car. Not even bother to really count through the field there. And, you know, Enders, Greg Anderson, Matt Hartford, who had a great year last year, Aaron Stanfield, Troy Coughlin Jr., Dallas Glenn, Christian Quadra, Camry Caruso. Of course, Jed Coughlin Jr. back this year. Larry Morgan, what is he, like 180? Sienna Wild Gust, that is quite a name. And it says a 99 Camaro. I find that hard to believe. Eric Lantino, Kenny Delco, Val Smeelen, the McGay Hayes, Fernando Quadra Jr., Dave Garner, Kelly Murphy driving for Jags Jim Butner Auto. Then Funny Car is a small field, so something we can go and dig through. Bob Tasca, back with Motocraft Quick Lane, Ron Capps, Napa Auto Parts, Toyota, Chad Green, driving the Bond Coat Inc. Ford. It's now he's teamed up with Daniel Wilkerson, so that'll be an interesting team there, how that all goes. John Force, the Ageless Wonder. Jerry Bonkowski is going to be the director of PR for John Force Racing, so congrats to him on that. J.R. Todd, former champion, back in the DHL Toyota. Buddy Hull driving for Jim Dunn. Matt Hagen, the defending series champion, and the Dodge SRT Direct Connection. Hellcat, Cruz Pentragon, his usual Snap-on Tools car, Snap-on Tools Dodge. Paul Lee, Terry Haddock, running his usual Ford Mustang. Dave Richards, I think Dave Richards is moving over to that. I think he's going to have a Ford body on his car. Blake Alexander driving for Jim Head. Daniel Wilkerson, as I mentioned, taking over for his father to drive in, again, in Funny Car. Austin Prock driving Robert Heitz, Cornwell Tools, AAA, Chevrolet, and then, Jim Campbell and Alexis DeJoria. Now the big one, Top Fuel Dragster. Defending series champion, finally, Doug Coletta gets the win, or gets a championship. He comes back. Alan Johnson, of course, is his tuner. Steve Torrance, was second last year. Justin Ashley, Antron Brown, Brittany Force, Tony Schumacher. And in the number 14 Top Fuel car, his name is Anthony Wayne Stewart. He will drive the Mopar Direct Connection Mobile 1 Top Fuel Dragster. You have Clay Milliken, Josh Hart, Tripp Tatum, Sean Langdon, Billy Torrance, who's going to be running the whole year, Sean Reed, who's thought he used to ride bikes or whatever, motorcycles. Doug Foley, Cody Crone, and then there's Mike Salinas. So we'll see what Tony Stewart does in his Top Fuel debut this weekend at the Gator Nationals. After the Gator Nationals, they have a couple weeks off before they go to the Winter Nationals. So two majors, essentially back-to-back. Then they'll go back to Firebird International, Firebird Motorsports Park now. And then the two four-wide races will be a couple weeks apart there. We'll go to the Las Vegas four-wide, then a couple weeks separation, then they go to Charlotte. So that's what NHRA will be like. At the Indy next at St. Pete. Man, there's Indy next. That's in alphabetical order. Now Lindsay Brewer, who's had her fair share of jizz on her face. Got the big story for this year, Miles Rowe moving from Pro 2000 or from F2000 to move up to to the Indy Next series. So I got multiple people to root on. Yuvan Sundaramurthy and Miles Rowe for sure. Got Josh Mason, so another brother there. You got, wow, that is quite a hairdo on Callum Hedge, literally and figuratively. Kyle Collette has a strong quaff as well. Jamie Chadwick, They're basically three teams are supplying the whole grid, essentially. You got HMD, Andretti, and then Miller Vinatieri. I forgot that Adam Vinatieri's in business with Dr. Jack Miller to go and put Jack Miller's son out on the grid. And then Able Motorsports, that's the other one. Those are the three teams that basically supply the whole entire grid. Lindsey Brewer drives for Juncos Hollander, for whatever that's worth. So we'll see what happens with that. That guy looks like Jim Carrey circa 1994. Nolan Siegel looks like freaking Gilbert Gottfried. Christ. Yeah, Reese Gold, Louis Foster. Yeah, I don't know who a lot of these people are, but we'll see what they do this weekend at St. Pete for their first round of their season. F1 Academy for 2024. They'll race at Saudi, and then they'll take 2 months off and then race in Miami. And you got Lola Lovenfoss. She drives for Rodin. Emily DeHoos has Red Bull support and is racing for MP, along with Hamda Al-Kabaisi. Rodin Motorsport has Abby Pulling, and she's supported by Alpine. You have American Chloe Chambers, who's supported by Haas, driving for Campos Racing, along with Kerry Schreiner, who's supported by Sauber. Bianca Bustamante has the McLaren backing. Jessica Edgar says she don't have anybody there, driving for Rodin. Tina Hausman driving for Prema, supported by Aston Martin. And was it Aurelia Nobles, whatever that is, name is, supported by Puma. Somebody smudged my Puma for ART. Dorian Pinn from the Iron Dames, driving number 28 for Prema with the Mercedes backing. And then Nerea Marti with Tommy Hilfiger support, driving for Campos. Leah Block Williams supporting her, of course, and driving for ART. Maya Wieg Woog, driving for Prema, supported by Ferrari. And then Amna Al-Kabaisi, Visa, Cash App, RB. See, I did say it in this case because it was for F1 Academy, and she'll drive for MP Motorsport, like her sister. All MP Motorsports, all Red Bull driver development there. And then Rodin Motorsport, just bring in, having people or bring in some money to the table, because I'm trying to see, the only one that has full support from a team is Abby Pulling, driving for Rodin there. So two Americans on the grid, which is great, and Chambers, and of course Leah Block. We got a lot of American, we got South American there, and two. So we'll see, a few attractive chicks too, to say the least. So we'll see what happens with the F1 Academy this year. Different season for sure. A lot of F1 teams looking at this more than they were last year. Last thing on the roundup, the Daytona 200 this year. It's ticket options. Yeah, the Daytona 200 Moto America event overview entry list. So in the Daytona 200, there looks like, not sure how many bikes they had. They have their listed. It says 68. Okay, wow. 68 bikes listed to race. The defending champ is Javi Forez, riding for Attack Performance. Yamaha, Warhorse, HSBK, Ducati for multiple time winner Josh Herron. Then you have Josh Hayes, who's a legend, racing Yamaha, of course. Never won this race, I don't think. PJ Jacobson, one of two riders for Rahal Ducati Moto. You have the number 15 and then the number 23 with Corey Alexander. Looking through, you have Taylor Nam, you have Bobby Fong, Richie Escalante, M4X Star Suzuki. Oh, New Jersey guy there. Wow, okay. Another New Jersey guy. So that's three guys from Jersey in this race. You got PJ Jacobson and Corey Alexander from New York. Now that's pretty cool. Sebastian Tremblay. Is he like Sylvain Tremblay's? Gotta be Sylvain Tremblay's son. Turcotte Performance. Why does that sound familiar? Got those one. I don't know a lot of these riders. I'm not familiar with the 600 Super Sport. I haven't stayed with it as I used to. So those are some of the names. You have the Twins Cup there. See if there's anybody from Jersey. You got one guy from New York. Oh, Gus Rodeo from New Jersey. I got a couple women riders there. King of the Baggers is 16. Hayden Gillum for Harley Davidson. Vanzanine's Harley Davidson. Travis Wyman. Ruben Jouse. Wow. One of the only two non-Americans in the field. Corey West. Troy Herfoss. You got Tyler O'Hara. Jesse Janisch. Kyle Wyman, who's one of the luckiest men on earth. His teammate, James Rispoli, for the Harley-Davidson factory team. Rocco Landers is on the other Vanzanhines Harley. Jake Lewis there. What is it now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Indian motorcycles. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Harley-Davidson's Mission Soup. I don't know what that is. Never even heard of this class. But, guy from New York. Well, so there you go. We'll see what happens with the Daytona 200. Who's able to come through? Danny Eslick. There you go. I saw Danny Eslick's name. Multi-time winner of the Daytona 200. Riding the Triumph. So we'll see what he's able to do there at Daytona, if he's able to go and get another victory in this race. I'm trying to go and look through, but then look at the history. The website has definitely got a lot going on there. All right, so that's that. Definitely been talking way too long, so I'm going to let you talk, Josh. IndyCar season preview 2024. The grid is packed. We have 5 days until the season opener at St. Pete. It's 20 years of the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. It's great to have that back finally, since we've been tortured by Formula One for a week, so at least we won't have that torture anymore, per se. We don't know who's going to be driving for Dale Coyne Racing, which is hilarious, but, you know, that's Dale Coyne for you. Hopefully that's the guys that tested, which would mean Colin Brown would be on the grid. But I mean, you have some new names, of course, coming in. You have Tom Blomqvist, full season after spending many years in IMSA. You have Valio only running Indy. Ed Carpenter now sharing the number 20 again with Indy next champion, Christian Rasmussen. Got Marcus Ericsson with Andretti now. Connor Daly is going to be racing for Dreyer and Reinbold at Indianapolis. Pietro Fittipaldi moves from Europe and the Formula One mix to drive for Rahal Letterman Lanigan. Grosjean dovetailing his Lamborghini WEC commitments to go and drive for Juncos Hollander. Captain America, Ryan Hunter-Reay, driving for Dreyer and Reinbold and Cusick Motorsports as well. So they'll be the duo at Indianapolis. Larson, of course, we'll see at Indy. Linus Lundqvist starting his rookie year for Chip Ganassi Racing. David Malukas is going to be out initially. He'll miss St. Petersburg. He'll miss Thermal with his injury that he suffered on a bike accident. New sponsor, DHL, for the defending series champion, Alex Palou. Padua Ward gets a multi-year extension with McLaren to stay with IndyCar. Dingray Robb will move over to AJ Foyt. Got some Jesus sponsor, because of course. Felix Rosenquist moves over to Myers Shank for the full season. Takuma Sato will race Indianapolis, trying to win the Indianapolis 500 for a third time. Kiffin Simpson, be one of the youngest drivers ever in IndyCar history, driving another Ganassi car. So, yeah, plenty to go and take in. We don't even, there's two other cars that we don't know who's going to be driving them. But, I mean, we got, I mean, it starts with Alex Palou, right, Josh? I mean, Alex Palou, Scott Dixon, the Penske guys, and Newgarden, and Scotty McLaughlin, Will Power. I mean, I guess it starts and ends there, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so. It starts and ends with both of those teams and drivers. Yeah. And obviously,
I don't know. So then we've been doing all
Chip Ganassi Racing, of course. Or... you know, it's going to be interesting this year. Okay. You know, Alex Palou coming off another championship year.
Get into that.
Seemingly staying at Chip Ganassi.
Xfinity, nobody in for the foreseeable future yet. In the 92
and
for
we'll see
BGM.
If he can reproduce that championship from last year and go back to back. Become a three-time champion. You know, still fairly young guy there in the series. So
most of the year,
he already had a lot of success. And I think for him, I think the only thing left for him is to win the Indy 500, which come close a few times. So it's definitely a possibility that he could come out with, especially with the speed that they've had.
Good momentum starting the year.
Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Scott Dixon, of course, we'll see how many years he has left.
You went first, or you went second there.
Super consistent, and still a guy you still have to account for in this series. So, I'm sure he'll have at least a couple of wins this season. But always going to be that wily vet that comes through at the very end and comes through out of nowhere like he always does. And for him, another chance to get Indy 500. Has had a couple of bad luck runs the last few times, so we'll see if he can come through and finally get a second Indy 500 win. With Penske, I think they still have some ground to keep up with Ganassi there. Consistency throughout the season. Last year we saw Joseph Newgarden almost win all the ovals, but then it kind of fell apart there at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And for him, I think, he's strong on the ovals, but, still needs a little bit more on the road courses. So I think, that'll be the focus for Penske this year, is to try to keep up with Ganassi. But I think the championship's probably going to come from one of those set of drivers. I think you can throw in Scott McLaughlin, Will Power to a lesser extent there as championship threats. So you got those set of drivers, McLaren, of course, Pato O'Ward, Malukas and Rossi. Obviously,
yeah.
Malukas,
yeah, that's a good one.
Come out,
I mean, after
to start the year with the
qualifying
injury,
he's got qualifying
going cycling,
down.
So he'll miss some time, which is unfortunate.
He had good race pace.
I mean, I think
Daytona,
this team
course,
can also,
and,
award.
I mean,
I think
he's
clearly
making that.
I think he's their top driver. Also,
progress.
Just got re-signed
the Jordan
for
Anderson
the next couple of years. So
bringing
definitely
better vehicles to the track this year.
What he looks like this season.
I'll go Chalk.
But,
I'll go John Hunter Nemechek.
I think more consistency for this team overall.
It's a track where Joe Gibbs Racing has
O'Ward
been dominant.
Definitely going to be the lead driver
the
in that stable.
In the Xfinity
of course,
series,
in
so,
Indianapolis 500 last
that's
year.
That's my
choice with him
there. I can't
crashing out at the end of the race.
Bruckshot as a
McLaren's
wild card.
Going to look back and
Bruckshot,
say, "Oh, we should have been in position." Okay,
can't go
back.
With that one either.
No,
I'll go with Anthony Alfredo.
No, it was then like a couple seconds ago.
our motorsports team is, you know, you don't know from week to week what they're going to bring to the table, but Alfredo, solid driver, track where you're able to kind of, it's a combination, a team can make more of a difference in terms of the cars, the driver can also do some work. So Fast Pasta, you're talking about a lot of guys with the sim, you know, we talked about it with the Raja, and then brought up Parker, Retzloff, you know, Anthony Alfredo. So I guess we're going to have these computer guys represented for sure. Shriners Children's 500 at Phoenix for that'll be the race. That'll be the race sponsor.
Xfinity at Phoenix.
36 for 30 for 40.
I'm gonna go with Justin Allgaier at Phoenix.
Gumby Cindric,
solid track.
Menards and Duracell.
That team, but
Austin Dillon with Morgan,
they haven't had as much speed this year.
Josh Berry's car,
the first kind of quasi short track
car,
so I
cellular
think, you know,
for Brad K.
Pull it out.
Group 1001.
So
for Corey LaJoy,
and
Zone,
yeah, that is a horrible
Bush,
name.
Kelly Blue Book for
call 811-200. Just call it that.
Serve Pro for Gagson.
But got
Mavis
that wild card
plus for Hamlin. Advance Auto Parts for
wild card
Ryan Blaney.
Go with
2022 winner Chase Briscoe.
So many good names
with Mahindra Tractors. Kaz Grala with N29.
Yeah, I was going to say Ryan Sieg, but I think he's
again
a contender.
Derek Krause, Western
there,
States Flooring, Chris
Parker.
Busher,
yeah, let's go Parker.
Build Submarines.
We've thrown him around a few years.
Bass Pro for Martin Truex Jr.
He's a
Green
good wild card
Christopher
pick
Bell.
For this.
Draver? What the hell is Draver? For Burton. Hunt Brothers Pizza for Joey Logano. First race for the U.S. Air Force for Bubba Wallace. Back there, so that's cool. Raptor on Byron, Poppy Bank for Daniel Hemric, former winner there in the Xfinity Series. No sponsor listed for McDowell, Todd Gillen Generator, Ryan Preece United Rentals, Albertsons for John Hunter, Family Dollar for Eric Jones, Mobile One for Tyler Reddick. Interested to see what that'll come out to be. Fry's Coca-Cola Spice for Richard, Ally Best Friends for Bowman, Fraternal Order of Eagles for Justin Haley. They had a flat black car at Daytona. Ty Gibbs, Monster Energy, Zane Smith, nobody listed this week. Delaware Life for Carson Osovar, and Freeway Insurance for Daniel Suarez. Okay, so for me, I think Byron was a winner there one of the races last year. You had the first race, and then Chastain won in November. Chevrolets have won every race to start the year. So I think the trend, does it continue? I don't want to say yes, but I wonder with the short track package what will be brought to the table. I mean, at the Clash, there was a lot of Toyota, you know, in terms of the Gibbs Toyotas. So, you know, I think at some point Toyota has to go in. I mean, Ford also, but I'm going to go with Dennis Hamlin to win, and my wild card, it's a homer pick. I'm going to go Chase Briscoe. Why not? He's a former winner there. It's one of his best racetracks. Stewart Haas Racing is flaky at best. Why not? So the Cup Series at Phoenix, Phil, Dennis Hamlin to win, Chase Briscoe wild card. How about you, Josh? Close the deal and then lead into your sim segment.
Yep,
definitely. And with that, we lead into your sim segment. So let us know what's going on in the world of iRacing and gaming.
Yeah, I will go with Ryan Blaney to win this weekend. You know, he's finished second in the last, you know, in 2022, finished second there. Finished second last year, winning the title. So he needs to finally win at Phoenix here. So I'm going to pick Ryan Blaney to win here. And my wild card this weekend, I'm going to go with John Hunter Nemechek in the 42. Not, you know, this is not Xfinity John Hunter Nemechek. This is Cup Series John Hunter Nemechek. So got to pick him here, which could be solid with, you know, how Toyota's been performing. So yeah, should be interesting. I mean, first race with the new downforce package for short tracks, so we'll see if it makes any difference here this weekend. Yeah, the biggest thing this week on iRacing is the rain update is finally here. Today is Monday, March 4th, and Tuesday, March 5th, it will drop and update iRacing, and we will have rain on iRacing for the first time since the game came out in 2008. And it's a long time coming, but it's finally here. We had Tony Kanaan, Jimmy Broadbent, Matt Malone, I think Casey Kerwin, he's the esports guy for Spire, used to be for 2311, but a bunch of other guys like that. They, I think they did a test race of some kind on iRacing at Sebring and got to kind of see how they were navigating the you know, weather there and the rain puddles and all that stuff. So, you know, looking forward to seeing this come out now. Finally, the rain, you know, been talking about it for a while. When's iRacing going to get rain? And slowly it's coming out. It was supposed to come out earlier this year, but they got it refined, I guess, but it's coming out now and definitely looking forward to it. You know, been talking about it last couple weeks, but you know, it's finally here. And let's see if we can get some more news updates on that. What else can we expect here? iRacing development update here. The rain update. Their system might take some time for people to accumulate true to life version of rain here. And yeah, it's going to be interesting navigating like the hydroplaning, you know, puddles, rooster tails visibility, having to actually use wiper blades in a simulation game. That's going to be funny, but it'll be cool to see. You know, so it's going to be kind of limited release as far as I think the tracks and stuff that it's available on. But yeah, it's definitely going to be available here in week 13, and hopefully got some tracks that I'll be able to use. I think they're releasing it on, let's see, where's week 13 here on iRacing. But yeah, that's it's going to be fun to play around with this year. Yeah, week 13 schedule here for rain. Portimao and GTPs and LMP2 week 13 wet and wild. Portimao rain expected, and then GT3s Misano Portimao rain probably. So there, GR86 and GT3s at Nürburgring and Dustafur. I don't know how to say that, but I guess the other Nürburgring, not the Nürburgring Nordschleife, but rain expected there. So rain expected there. And the SRX, forgot to mention that one. The SRX is coming out on iRacing. So even though the SRX no longer exists in real life, it will exist in iRacing. So we can run the SRX cars at short tracks and all that stuff. That
went shaking over a lot in the
this week on iRacing.
Roundup,
so,
a lot
that'll
races,
be fun to do, of course.
Main,
but,
the,
yeah, otherwise,
the three main
Mazda Cup
series
Ferrari
that we
GT3
talk about,
Challenge
all
Porsche
of them
Cup
are back now. So,
this week,
we're going to be busy.
Yeah, those are ranked series where safety rating affected.
Of
course,
September
Oval Series Pickup Cup, Carburetor Cup, Road Series, Battle of the Little
the Olympics,
Wings and the Super we'll Formula Lights, Formula
definitely,
4, Formula
thrive
Fords,
on that. Definitely enjoy that.
GR, yeah.
You can find
figure, I guess, figure 8
PG
with GTEs,
28 on Twitter.
Tube Twisters with the Street Stocks and the Ridiculousness
you can find,
series with Dallara Iro 5
the
and
page,
the SRX and
podcast, YouTube
the Liger
page Josh uploads
P320
video feeds.
So
we also have
yeah, I mean, iRacing over the years, they've
gotten things, where improved you can and
more modernized.
The show
now finally
as well.
The elements come to play here. I mean, we have dirt, but
and we'll
you know,
be
now
back
it's different racing in the rain. So gonna be fun. Gonna have to
podcast,
you know, break out the inner
next
Ayrton
week
Senna, in the rain. So looking forward to seeing how
Phoenix,
this all plays out.
Xfinity,
hopefully, the computer holds
IndyCar,
up for it. I know
at
the rain.
Pete,
I've heard it's
then,
very intensive. But
Saudi Arabia,
you know, we'll see.
Prix.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah,
along
it's,
with everything
looking,
else,
looking
that's
forward
going
to
on
doing that. Might have to break out the stream.
We'll talk about
for this.
Here.
So
on the GSP, we'll even probably get a little bit of football
playing around in the rain and building a new skill there. So yeah, I mean that's the big update here in iRacing for season 2 of 2024.
We'll see what happens.
So,
as we
look
go
forward
along.
To seeing what
we'll talk about it
tracks
all.
And what cars
the GSP, thanks for
over the next
supporting.
Couple weeks are they gonna have
and we'll see you next
rain in the forecast for and everything. So looking forward to that. And you know, maybe in the future they'll do oval racing in the rain, especially NASCAR kind of changing the rules here and allowing rain racing at short tracks at you know when possible. So we'll see that. But you know, if I do stream some rain racing this weekend or you know during the week, Twitch.tv/USailor2, go in there and see everything. And then of course Twitter, where my personal Twitter is JP Helfine. Go in there and follow me and all my takes and everything. And might be a little active here, especially as NFL free agency comes around, and we'll see what the Jaguars decide to do with Josh Allen and Calvin Ridley. Seeing all that, of course, and our page at Gripshire Podcast on YouTube. Go in there and subscribe and everything. We've got our Phil Spain and Sarah Davis interview up there as well. So go in there and look that and hear about their perspective last week. So yeah, of course, glad to be on, of course, and you know, glad to be full swing. I guess we're full song here into the racing season for 2024.